Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
All right, so hang on. Now, let me just check I've got the months of the year right. This is, let me double check here.
This is August the 30th.
Okay. September, October, November, December. There's 4 months left of this year.
Yeah.
We're two-thirds of the way into 2016.
Jeez. Yeah.
Is it too late if you haven't taken charge?
It's interesting because just the other day we were saying that, you know, at the first 100 days of the year, this is what we're going to do.
That's right.
You remember? Yeah. And it feels like it was just yesterday.
It literally flew by. It's quite crazy, I have to say.
Man. So is it too late? You didn't answer me.
Nah, it's never late. For me, it's never late, bro. Just start. I'm trying to work out if it's too late for me.
What
no,
do you
I don't
mean?
Think it's ever late, man. what do you mean?
I don't know what you're saying. What you looked very deep and introspective.
Yeah, he was really thinking about it. Like, oh, man.
The voice of reason will always be Producer Cat. Producer Cat, is it too late to take charge of 2016?
Oh,
no.
Okay.
It's never too late to do anything.
Ash. There you go. Take Flourish. Charge of that flu. okay. Just before we get into what's on the agenda,
yeah.
Let's do a two-thirds of the way into the stock take.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Who wants to start?
I don't want to start. I'll go last. Stock take. Like, meaning like whatever.
What
have we done this year?
Always one of my favorite things to do always. Well, sometimes it's not my favorite because maybe things haven't turned out great, but it's always fascinating to me how you walk into a year. And then as the year progresses, how just like completely unpredictable. Life is completely unpredictable.
Absolutely. I think, but you know, if I had to take stock of my year, that's kind of like what I didn't do in the beginning of the year. I didn't really come in saying, I don't know how people usually do it, but I used to always kind of like say, I want to do X, Y, and Z in this year. I kind of came in this year and said, I want to like, be this type of person or be better at certain things this year. I didn't like kind of set exact goals. I made more like
general
conceptual goals. Yeah, like I want to be better at being a businessman. I want to be better at being a radio presenter, better at these type of things, you know. So I feel like that in a way has kind of made me open to the unpredictability of how the year ends up being anyway. So in that sense, I feel like it's kind of what I expected. But as always, it's in most ways sometimes never what you expect, you know?
I think if I had to just do a general stock take of the team, it's actually quite crazy how we used to, let's say last year, we used to talk about bet on yourself, do things, you know what, go after your dreams, this and that. And if I look at it now, Vaughn left his job. And now he's pushing his own thing with a recording artist and it's going well. And Simpiwe left his job and he's also following his dreams and is doing, you know, his own thing and it's going well. I started my own company and I pretty much left whatever I was doing, that it was going to be comfortable, and I'm doing my own thing.
I'm going around the country teaching people how to speak.
You know,
living the dream.
Yeah, and it's crazy.
I mean,
how
Ari is working with T-Boy Touch.
Never want to see that coming.
You see, guys, it's amazing how we went from just speaking about these things of, you know, go after your dreams, do this, do that, but now we're actually living the things that we were saying. So I think it's been an amazing year for growth.
Yeah, it has been an amazing year for growth. We're actually doing what we spoke of. I mean, I remember talking about this time next year, I'll be leaving my job. I won't be working. And it's this time next year. It's 2016.
When he said it, I thought, no, that's rather far-fetched.
Yeah.
but it's the truth. He's actually doing it.
It's the truth. And I think the major focus for me in 2016 was rather focused on becoming rather than getting stuff. So I've really been trying to shape myself into the right type of individual, the type of individual that I've always wanted to be, really pursuing everything that I've wanted to pursue and really being an example. You know, for me, the biggest thing is really focusing on my identity. We've spoken about identity on countless occasions, and that's really been a focus on mine, and realizing who I am right now and who I want to be. That's a major thing, and it's been a lot of character development, to put it nicely, you know. A lot.
Yeah. One really has no power over... Well, actually, no. I was thinking about this the other day. We have control over the decisions that we make. Yeah. So we make decisions and we become those decisions.
Exactly. Yeah.
You decide to do crime, you become a criminal. You decide to study law, you become a lawyer. There is a lot that we have control over. But it's, I guess, how one responds to different things that happens that really determines who we are.
Exactly.
And getting better at making decisions, I don't know if there is such a thing as a good decision, because a decision at the end of the day has an outcome which teaches you something in its own way.
Yeah, yeah. Thoughts become things, eh?
That's so, it.
Thoughts become things.
All right, what's on the bill on today's Take Charge Tuesday?
All right, well, quite a lot's happening around the country. If I just had to zoom into Gauteng and zoom specifically into Pretoria, we got quite a lot happening there. It's interesting because Simphiwe's sister is actually at Girls High, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he has a lot to share about what's going on there. He went to the parent meeting yesterday. Not that he's a parent, but you know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Other than that, we're also chatting about Women's Month in itself. There's something I thought of quite recently about the whole Women's Month thing, and we will touch on that. But let's zoom into this ordeal that's happening.
It is an ordeal. It really is an ordeal, and it's to be honest, it pisses me off. I was talking to these guys earlier, and I know Vaughn's pissed off about this as well. For me, the biggest problem with what we're facing is the fact that we're discriminating a person's individuality. The most important thing you can actually achieve in your lifetime is really becoming yourself. And what the system is currently dictating at Girls High is that, no, you need to conform to a specific type of person. This battle hasn't been going on for a couple of days. It's been going on for a couple of years. My cousin was at Girls High. She was also facing these issues with hair and underlying hints of racism and a lot of people saying a lot of things, but really not scratching the surface or solving issues. So the big thing with what's happening at Girls High is that the whole iceberg, if I can put it like that, was the fact that this one girl, a 13-year-old at Girls High, has this huge afro, and the school is trying to make her cut her afro or cut it down or try and control it, because there are a lot of black girls at Girls High, and the code of conduct is not accommodating to a lot of children. It's merely focused on a specific race and not necessarily accommodative to the diversity of the school. So things sparked last week, Friday, where Girls decided to mobilize and really protest the fact that Girls High is racist. That's what they were saying. For me, it's beyond racism. It's a huge divide and a cultural and racial divide that we need to address. The Girls decided to go and protest, and then on Friday, things were calm. On Saturday, they had their spring fair. The school called cops into the spring fair. They called K-9 units. They had AK-47s there. It was crazy. I don't know what is happening. For girls, for 13-year-old girls to call K-9 units, I still don't understand. But they had armored forces there, and they wanted to arrest these girls. I saw a video yesterday, I think, where the guy was saying, no, we're going to arrest you. And then these girls are saying, no, they want to arrest us, guys. They want to arrest us. They're going to arrest us. And things escalated on social media on Sunday. And then yesterday, all hell broke loose where Banyaza Lusufi went there. He got a request to visit the school. They signed a petition and everything. And then the University of Pretoria, political parties there at the university, decided to mobilize some students. They went there. So the school went into lockdown. And then Banyaza was really trying to understand what was happening at the school. And you know, we were talking about hair initially, but this is not really about hair, but really the racial divide that's happening at schools. There's a lot of discrimination happening towards the children at schools, and there's a lack of sensitivity towards the African child currently at Girls High. These girls were really sharing accounts and testimonies of the fact that this teacher did that to them. One of the testimonies, one of the girls was saying that in their geography class, the teacher literally asked, okay, so who's Sutuyam? The girls raise their hand, and then they need to go to a corner. Who's Tswana? You must go to a corner. So they were really being victimized based on their tribal, cultural, and racial aspects, and really made to feel this.
Why did they do that?
Bro, I don't even know, but this is what I'm hearing. Like, it was an exercise in class. A lack of sensitivity is the biggest thing for me. And then with the hair thing, the girls are being made to feel less than humane because these teachers are really victimizing them and making them feel like they're not worth being there. Another problem was the fact that girls can't speak in their mother tongue on school grounds. How can you not express yourself in your home language when you're talking to your friend? I mean, that's a basic constitutional right. And these are some of the things that Mr. Lusufi was hearing. And at the student governing body, the governing body meeting yesterday, these were the issues that were being addressed. And at the end of it all, the school is under review. They've appointed an independent body to investigate the school for the next 21 days for people to present their evidence. And then from there, they're going to make a decision on what's the way forward. I think a lot of teachers are going to lose their jobs because a lot of teachers are under investigation now. Today, I went to pick up my sister. The school went on lockdown again because there was more protest action from outside parties, not even the girls anymore. I think it was COSAS, one of these unions focused on students. And for me, the biggest thing is the cultural divide. We're not going to solve the issues that we're facing by just allowing black girls to fight for black girls. I think this needs to be a South African battle. I need to understand your views and your cultural needs. You need to understand my cultural needs. And we need to start developing and engaging solutions that accommodate that diversity of South Africa. Until then, a lot of these things are going to spark and develop, and we're never really going to move forward. And it's really sad to see, like, in 2016... children being victimized for their hair or the color of their skin or the language they speak, stuff that's not their fault, you know, which is
it's too much. It's way too much. Like, I agree with you, man. I think I like what you say when you say that we need to develop or it needs to be a South African fight, because I kind of believe the same thing. You know, I don't think I obviously there's different you know, we all have different understandings of, you know, what is going on. You know, not everyone's reality is the same. So obviously the girls that feel this are, you know, they are way more affected and obviously way more passionate about, you know, what it is and how to go about it. And their reaction to it is obviously dictated by the immediate experience. But it doesn't necessarily mean that because I maybe haven't had that reality that I can't fight for the same sort of cause. Because I do believe you know, that it's obviously it's incorrect, and it should never really be, you know, no child should be put in detention because of their hairstyle. I think it's petty, and I think it's ridiculous, and specifically, you know, black people being targeted, or feeling the you know, getting, you know, the end of the whip is obviously completely wrong. And I do think it's good, man, and I like the fact that, you know, young people have the balls to stand up to these institutions and have their voices heard. You know, it's just frustrating, and it's just sad, man. It's sad to see
flipping sad, bro,
that young, you know, I think about when I was 13, man. It's crazy. Like, imagine being 13 and having to fight for something as simple as
your
identity. It's a bit like, it's actually like, you know, you start to question yourself, like, how free are young people? How free are people in South Africa?
For me, the only way we'll move forward is when her white friends, the white girls at school, are mobilized as well. The white girls are wearing traditional dukes and all of that. The white girls are in the forefront, and really, we need to cross cultural and racial barriers and really realize that this is a fight that's beyond race or culture, but rather a fight to be yourself, bro. I think I read a quote earlier today, Africans fighting to be Africans in Africa. That's a tragedy. Like, how can you be fighting to be yourself in your own continent? Like,
bro, like it's almost like, that's why I get so upset, because I feel like it's so pathetic.
Yeah.
It's pathetic. It's not even like something that can be debated. I think it's pathetic. And I think that at the end of the day, we must do what we all have to do to make that never happen again.
Exactly.
But it's also crazy to think that it sort of only surfaces 20 odd years after some sort of, you know, democracy and whatnot. Like, it's crazy to think that so many people still went through all that.
So we've been speaking about this in depth yesterday. We spoke about it today. That very thing that you were saying now, Simpiwe, Felicity was saying a little earlier on in the ladies' round table. It's ridiculous. Africans are fighting to be African in Africa. What I've really been trying to figure out, though, or to guide the narrative into, is how do we make this a conversation that's going to result in something that is positive and move, you know, in a way that is going to, you know, not just get people angry on Twitter, but that there's going to be outcome, that there's going to be change. So I was asking, who are the role players in this? To my mind, and I've said this since towards the end of yesterday's show, I think that what has to happen is that at a national level, the education department have to say, you know, we're taking this word neat and we're going to say that neat is X, neat is Y, and they got to get the right role players into a room. Because I think that every school has a different governing body. Every school has different sets of minds. I think that something like this does have to be standardized across the board.
Exactly.
That no matter what school you're going to, you know that, you know, this is how that's handled or this is how that's handled. And you've got to get people that can dedicate all their time.
Yeah.
Because the governing body is made up of people that are doing a million and one other things. Mm. And they've got bringing their own sort of personal narratives into it. And I think that honestly, at a national level, people have to workshop what it is that this word neat actually means, and very seriously take into account the fact that young people have so many things going on in their lives. They're going through puberty. The last thing they need is, you know, their self-esteem eroded because of the way that the world thinks that the world has been for many years.
In the Afrikaans school that I went to, the word neat, especially when it came to hairstyles, was defined pretty clearly for the Afrikaner kid. For instance, things like as a guy, your hair is not supposed to, you know, it's not supposed to go beyond your collar. It's not supposed to touch your collar in a way. So you kind of have an idea of how short your hair needs to be when it comes to, you know, by your neck. And then a similar thing would have to happen around your forehead as well, where it said it can't cover your forehead, or if it does, it shouldn't touch your eyebrows. And those were ways to you know, to dictate more or less what is neat for the guy. And you know, the girls had something a little similar, where you shouldn't allow your hair to just be loose, tie it up, make like a ponytail or some sort of thing. And you know, they also had things about, you know, the kaif is literally the fringe
completely misput together.
So that's pretty much the definition that was there for how hairstyles need to be.
We've got 2.5 minutes left, Simpiwe. Let's wrap this up.
For me, I'm gonna make it more personally. My sister started at Girls Eye this year. She's in grade 8. She's friends with this girl that started this whole thing. And what I realized from my sister's usually confident and bold. And last year, she was really loud and outspoken. Now I've seen her transform and change and become a lot more mild and meek and a lot less confident. And I was wondering what was happening with her, because I saw her changing her hairstyles and straightening her hair. And I was like, what? Why is she doing this? Is she trying to figure out who she is? Then I realized it's the school. And when a school or a system infringes on a child's identity, on shaping the type of person she'll be, I think that's where the problem is, and that problem needs to be addressed. From what I've seen in the past few months, my sister transforming in that way, that's not right. I know who my sister is. I've seen what the school is doing to her. I've seen what the system is doing to kids at such a young age. We need to address this. We need to transform and ensure that we embrace the diversity of our nation in these schools, because at the moment, these schools are not embracing the diversity of our nation.
Absolutely. So it's a heavy thing to broach on a Take Charge Tuesday, but most important thing to broach. Consistently, when we have this conversation, we keep saying we don't have enough time. There's so much more to this conversation as well. There's issues of structural racism. There's a hell of a lot. A final sentence from each of you.
Well, because there's so much to talk about, that's why we also have conversations about this on Thursday as well. So Thursday, 12 o'clock, Unplugged and In Charge. That's the show to listen to. And then we'll have a whole hour to really go into this and also just talk about the solutions as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. Vaughn?
The system doesn't make space for you. You have to force yourself in.
Yeah. Always embrace who you are and never conform to a system that changes your identity, because you're the only person that defines who you will be.
And that's how you take charge on a Tuesday. I hate taking something so serious and then like chopping it up and dicing it and saying, cool, that's what it's just. Sometimes it is. But we've got Thursday between 12 and 1.
Definitely.
All right. Vaughn, Weza, Simpiwe, thank you very much. That there is how you take charge on a Tuesday.
For sure. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.